We're in week two of our quarantine series, as it were. And here's our series, Anchors. We're talking about four truths that keep you steady in a storm. I'm not much of a sailor, but I do know this, that when a storm hits, first thing you want to do is you want to find a harbor, and you want to hunker down there, but there's something else you need to do. You need to weigh anchor. And the reason you do that is the anchor comes and it lodges in the rock or in the sand on the ocean floor, and that keeps you steady and calm. It keeps you from being crushed into the rocks on shore. We're using anchors kind of as a metaphor here. You know, as humans, you need anchors. When storms in life hit, you need anchors, as it were. Here's what I found as a Christian. The best anchors in life are not job security. The best anchors in life are not living a healthy and fit life. The best anchors in life are not having financial security. No. Instead, believing and remembering the truth about who God is, that anchors and steadies the soul of a Christian. So here's what I'm doing in this series. We're taking four things. I could have talked about a lot of things about who God is and about how God works. I could have taken a lot of things to talk about to steady our souls, but I get to pick. So I picked the four things that that really steady my soul as I think about who God is and how He acts. Last week we looked at the first anchor. We looked at the fact that God is sovereign. That means that God is in absolute control. The idea that God exercises absolute control over everything that ever happens. So there's no such thing as a stray molecule, and there's no such thing as a stray germ. Everything must submit to the authority and control of God. Tonight, I want to look at a second anchor for Jake Wolbecker's heart, and hopefully it's something that's helpful for you too. Here it is, second anchor. Anchor number two, God always does the right thing. God always does the right thing. I'm reminded of the words of Abraham in Genesis 18 when he said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" He's right. The judge of all the earth will do right. God always, always, always does the right thing. Now, in order for us to understand that, we got to kind of understand two concepts that help us to get a good picture for why this is true. Why is it true that God always does the right thing? And here are the two things we're going to look at. We're going to look at the fact that God is good. And we're going to look at the fact that God is wise. God always does what's right because He's a good God. And He always acts for the good of people. And God is a wise God. He always decrees the right thing. I want you to imagine for just a minute. Let's pretend that let's say God existed, yes, and God was sovereign, yes. But what if God didn't always do the right thing? Just kind of imagine what that would be like. Like, what if God was in absolute control, but he didn't do what was right and good? Like, God existed, God's sovereign, but turns out that he actually doesn't love you. Can you imagine what that would be like? What if God existed, but He took no thought of you or your well-being? What if to God you were of no value? What if God were sovereign, but He couldn't care less if you found forgiveness or made it to heaven or not? What if that were true? What if God was in control, but had no sympathy for your pain or for your sorrow? In other words, what if God was sovereign, but not good? I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything more terrifying than having a God who is in fact sovereign, but who isn't actually good. But friends, that is not reality. That is not the truth. The truth is that God is a good God. God is a good God. And the thing that helps us to understand that God always does the right thing is the fact that God is good. There's so many verses that talk about the goodness of God in Scripture. I wanted to read you like a list of 40 verses, but I narrowed it down to three. This is an incredible theme in Scripture that God is good. Here's a couple. God is good. From Psalm 145:9, The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. There's a sense in which God is good to absolutely everyone, friend or foe. If God created it, if God created you, He is good. Psalm 119:68 says this, "You are good, and what you do is good." One more, Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him." And I could go on and on with this. The Bible keeps mentioning this fact that God is a good God. What does it mean that God is good? What are we saying? What is the Bible saying when it says that the Lord is good? Well, I think it's saying a little bit more than just saying that God is righteous or that God is holy. It's true that God is righteous and that God is holy. But I think when the Bible says that God is good, it's talking about this. It's talking about His kind disposition towards humans. You might say it this way, God is kind-hearted. God's goodness, it's His friendliness. It's His basic desire to hope for good for humans. Now, listen, God is capable of feeling more than one emotion at the same time. Does God pour out wrath on sin and on sinners? Well, yeah, He does. But He also causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, nourish their crops. He also sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Why would He do that? Why would God do something like that? It's because He's good. He's willing for none to perish. His desire is He wants what's good for every human being. I think we get a taste for this in Psalm 86:5. It says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." It's like even God's enemies, God is good even in a way to them. He wants to offer them peace and forgiveness and salvation. God is a good God. He is good to us. And one of the things that really amazes me about the goodness of God is that He initiates His goodness to us. God initiates His goodness to us. In other words, He was good to us all on His own. His goodness is not a reaction. You know, a child might be good to a bully because he's afraid that the bully's going to beat him up. And so he's good to the bully. That is not like the goodness of God. God's goodness is not reactive, it's proactive. He was good to us before any of us were good to Him. And here's the thing. God has nothing really to gain by being good to us. He has nothing to gain by being good to us. And that, I think, proves something. It proves the genuine nature of His goodness. It proves that God really is good to us. God always does the right thing because He's good. God wants what's good for you. And belief in the goodness of God, this is an anchor for your soul. At least it is for my soul. Because I know that God is, you know, no matter what God chooses to allow in my life, I know that God is ultimately seeking to bring about what is good for me. Now, listen, God's perspective on what is good for me and for you may be different than your perspective on what is good for you. Ultimately, what is the good that God is seeking? It's His own glory. You have to understand, though, that God is truly seeking what is good for you. This is so foundational. It's absolutely critical that you believe this. One of the reasons I think that's true is because this is one of the very first things that Satan tried to undermine in the garden. Remember the story with Adam and Eve? What did Satan say to them? How did he get them to sin, in other words? He says, "Eat this fruit, you're not going to die." And in Genesis 3:5, he says this, "For the Lord knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, it's like he's saying, God's keeping something from you. It's like he's saying, God isn't being good to you. Guys, when you are in a storm in life, as it were, Satan goes straight for the jugular. He goes straight for the anchors. He goes straight for the foundation. And here's what he tries to tell you. He tries to tell you, you know what? God isn't being good to you. He's He's not doing what is right. Don't believe the lie. See, when you doubt the goodness of God, that path leads to bitterness, and it leads to despair, leads to worry. Now, I just say, like, if you look, kind of do a little inventory in your life and you find yourself full of bitterness and despair, you can kind of reverse engineer this a little bit, perhaps, and think, boy, somewhere along the line, did I believe that lie that Satan was telling me that says that God was not good? On the other side, when you believe, when you cling to the fact that God is in fact good, that what he allows and what he decrees, that actually is meant for your good, that builds hope. It builds trust in the midst of suffering. So you absolutely need this anchor. You need to know that God always does what's right. And why does he always do what's right? It's because he's good. It's because he is a good God. And he's seeking ultimately to do what is good for you. There's another reason why you should believe that God always does the right thing. And here it is. It's that God is wise. God is a wise God. And so he always does the right thing. He always does what's right. Listen to this from Daniel 2. You can turn there if you want. Daniel 2, verse 20. You know, think about Daniel. Daniel was a young man taken captive from his nation. He's looking around, seeing his nation just absolutely wasted and destroyed. And yet, listen to what he says about God. He says this. He says, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him." It's not just God's sovereignty. It's not just God's power. It's his wisdom. Wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs or seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Isn't that a profound thing for someone who watched God allow his nation to be destroyed? Isn't that something profound for him to say? That, no, you know what? God actually is wise. Notice what the text said. It says that wisdom belongs to God. It belongs to him. In other words, it's not just that God went out and got an education or got a mentor and somehow gained a lot of wisdom and now he has it. No, that's not the idea. The idea is God is the source of wisdom. Look at this. It's he who gives wisdom to wise men. It's he who gives knowledge to men of understanding. So God is the source of wisdom. What does it mean that God is wise? What are we saying? It's a little bit different than just saying that God knows everything. That's talking about God's omniscience. When we say that God is wise, we're saying that God uses his knowledge and his perspective to bring about the exact outcome that he desires. When we say that God is wise, we're saying this. There are times that God, with his knowledge and with his perspective, he knows when to allow suffering to bring about ultimately good. When we say that God is wise, we're saying that God uses his knowledge and his perspective to bring comfort at the right time. He knows exactly when to allow someone to die or when to allow someone to be born. He's wise. He has perspective. And with this perspective and knowledge and sovereignty and power, that all converges in his wisdom. And God is able to bring about exactly what he wants to bring about. Here's the thing. Since God is good, the things that God wants to bring about, those are good too. Again, ultimately, that is his own glory. Look again at the passage from Daniel. It says this, that God is wise, and it's he who changes the times and seasons. He removes the kings and establishes kings. It's kind of like this. It's like God is wise, and it's like he sees the whole chessboard. He sees the whole chessboard. He sees the end game. He knows what move to make and when to make it in order to win the game. God is wise, and because of that, we can trust him when he chooses to allow different things, yes, even storms, into our lives. Because we know, you know what, God is wise, and he is seeking ultimately to do what is good. It's at this point that many, I think, object. They say, is it really true that God's wise? Is it really true that God isn't making any mistakes? Because it sure feels like it. I think if we're honest, you've maybe thought that before. Maybe you've thought this when God in his sovereignty allowed someone to pass away or to suffer. I think we can start to question this. Is God really bringing about the best possible ends? Is he really using the best possible means? Because it sure doesn't look that way. Often from our perspective, it feels that God is not wise. It feels like he's foolish. It feels like God's in the front seat and he's driving the wrong way. And we're saying, hey, listen, the turn was back there. But the fact that God is wise means that God knows what we don't know. It means that he has a perspective that we do not have. And his perspective causes him to allow at times pain and even sorrow. Because he knows what will ultimately bring the most glory for himself and the most good for us. Listen, this is not to say that God is the source of evil. It's not to say that God is pleased with suffering. Not to say that everything that happens is good or right. No, what we're saying is that God can accomplish what is good out of what is bad. Think of the words of Joseph when he said this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This, God's wisdom, he knows what to allow. Even Joseph being sold into slavery, because in his wisdom, he knows this is what's good for the nation of Israel. God is wise. He can see what the best plan is. From our perspective, though, it feels often, doesn't it, that God is making a mistake? Feels like God shouldn't have allowed that to happen. We know what's best, and God's clearly making the mistake here. Here's the thing. When you compare the human perspective with the divine perspective, which perspective is better? When you compare human wisdom with God's wisdom, which wisdom is more accurate? The Bible has an opinion about this. The Bible tells us very clearly, when you compare God's wisdom with our wisdom, God's wisdom wins. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians 3. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it's written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. I don't think this is saying that I don't think God's saying there's no such thing as human intelligence. No, God has gifted humans with intelligence. I think the point is here that there are times when we as humans look at God and say, my perspective is right and your perspective is wrong. My wisdom is right. My way of thinking, this should have happened and this shouldn't have happened, that's right, and you, God, are wrong. And when you compare our perspective and God's perspective, what's it say? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God has a perspective on the world, and he knows everything. And he is allowing and causing everything in just the right measure, at just the right times, to bring about exactly what he's shooting for. The Bible's claim is this. You know, we may look at the world and see chaos, pandemics, war, cancer, death, and we think God's just dropping the ball. He's not good, and he's not wise. But God is wise, and he uses his knowledge and perspective to do exactly what he wants to accomplish. Here's the thing. What looks to us like a mistake may to God be wisdom. And what looks to us like wisdom may in God's eyes be foolishness. Here's an illustration that you've probably heard before, but I think it's really neat. When someone makes a tapestry, two illustrations here. When someone makes a tapestry, if you look at the back, this is what it looks like. It just looks chaotic, a bunch of string, and you flip it around and you see, oh, there was a design. There was a plan. It's a little bit like this with God, right? There are times that we look at chaos in the world and we say, this does not look like wisdom, but from God's perspective, he has somewhere he's going with this. I have a better example, though. I think there are times when we think God is being foolish. That cannot be right. That cannot be why. And God says, oh, yes, it is. And I think the best way that we see this is to look to the cross. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. In this passage, Paul is going to compare the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God. And he's going to point to the cross. And he's going to say, you know, when you look at the cross, that seems absolute foolishness. But in reality, that is wisdom. It was God's wisdom. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Pause there for a second. What an amazing way for Paul to talk about the gospel message, the foolishness of the message. But it seems that way. The idea of a God coming to earth and then that God dying on a Roman cross, that idea seems to be foolish to the wise man, to the scribe, to the debater. It seems nonsense to them. And in their eyes, that message of, quote, foolishness, well, God was pleased to use that to bring people to salvation. It says this in verse 22, for indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. Paul's saying, look, this sounds foolish. And like it really does. The idea of Jesus, God, dying on the cross sounds foolish. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it's foolishness. But what is this to God? But though to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, the cross looked like foolishness, but to God it was wisdom. Listen to this. Listen to this. For Jesus, the wisdom of God, the wise plan of God, included both suffering and death. For Jesus, the wise plan of God included both suffering and death. God's bringing about the best possible end with the best possible means, and that meant the cross for Jesus. God in his wisdom said, this is the best plan, and this is the best way to accomplish that plan. And even that included suffering for Jesus. So, saints, beware when in your heart you start to doubt God. Beware when in your heart you said, since there's pain, God cannot be wise. God cannot be doing what is right. No, the cross shows us that what may look to be chaos or foolishness may instead be, in fact, the wisdom of God. You need to believe that because when you look around and you see chaos and you see the things that God has chosen to allow into your life, you may be tempted to believe God is not wise and God is not good. But friends, look to the cross and remember that God has a wisdom of his own. You know, I think often we measure God's goodness and his wisdom with the wrong measuring stick. I think what we do when we're really facing these questions head on, is God good to me? Has God made any mistakes with regard to me? We take out our ruler and we put it up against things like, how healthy have I been? Or put it against things that say, how wealthy am I? Or how's my marriage doing? Or how have things been going generally? That's the wrong measuring stick. Those are the wrong things to measure. No. The wisdom of God and the goodness of God is not measured by how comfortable your life is going. The measuring stick that reveals the goodness and wisdom of God is, in fact, the cross of Jesus. It's there that you find that God is a good God. And it's there that you find that maybe what seems foolish to you and I is, in fact, the wisdom of God. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. He said this, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. Well, friends, God is a good God, and God is a wise God, and that is an anchor for my soul, because I know that when God chooses to allow difficult things into my life, that he is actually looking to do what is good for me. And he's actually doing what is wise. A couple of points to keep in mind as we go to our Zoom groups here in just a moment. when the storm hits, Satan goes for the jugular. He goes for the anchors. He's going to tell you, that's just how he works. He's going to tell you God isn't good and he's not wise. He's making mistakes. You just got to be aware of that. The fact that that's what Satan goes for, that maybe is a clue on how important these anchors are. Number two, remember that God is good. He's kind-hearted. The Lord is good to all over everything he's made, the scripture says. Last, remember that God is wise. He's wise. God will use his knowledge and his perspective to bring about exactly what he wants to bring about. And he will always do what's right. And that is an anchor for my soul.